This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday, as always. We've got another 60 minutes of old-time radio crime for you, beginning with Murder by Experts. We'll hear Two Coffins to Fill, their episode from July 4th, 1949. After that, it's The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe and The Party for Death, his story from February 16th, 1951.
Murder by Experts. The Mutual Broadcasting System presents Murder by Experts with your host and narrator, Mr. John Dixon Carr, world-famous mystery novelist and author of the recently published bestseller, The Life of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
This is John Dixon Carr. Each week at this time, Murder by Experts brings you a story of crime and mystery, which has been chosen for your approval by one of the world's leading detective writers. Those experts who are themselves masters of the art of murder and can hold tensity at its highest. This time, our guest expert is the noted mystery novelist, Kelly Roos. From the innumerable thrillers he has read and enjoyed, Mr. Roos has chosen a story by Robert Foster. To quote Mr. Roos, the story is a fascinating study of an ambitious and corrupt man venturing into the unknown and being caught in a whirlpool of violence and death. And now we present Carl Weber in Two Coffins to Fill. The scene, Nick's Place, a popular roadhouse on the West Coast. It's early evening, and the dimly lit cocktail lounge is empty, save for the bartender and a couple in a corner booth.
Roger, we can't go on like this.
Why not, darling?
I'm tired of meeting you at discreet places, of seeing you only when you can get away from your wife.
Just have to be patient, Eve.
Patient? It's already a year. How long do you think I'll go on waiting for you?
What would you have me do?
Leave her. Forget about the money. We can get along.
On what? Oh, no, Eve.
What do you think you'll get from her?
I have plans. It'll take time, but I'm very patient.
Well, I'm not. I can't go on waiting, Roger. I won't.
I'm sorry. Another drink?
Nothing affects you, does it, Roger? War, famine, or love? You're a man with only one weakness, money.
Why is it that women can never break off without creating a scene?
Why, you arrogant... What a fool I've been. All right, Roger, I'll break off without creating a scene. Goodbye, Roger.
I'll have another, Steve, and put a dash of bitters in it.
Hello, Thornton. Your friend left in a hurry.
You're quite observant, Al.
I'm a student of human nature. Nick's having a game in the back tonight. Interested?
A game?
Poker.
Yes, since my date's walked out on me, I'll play a few hands. Tell Nick I'll be there. It's amazing how one small weakness can disrupt an otherwise orderly and well-thought-out plan. My wife Frida's first husband left her with a manufacturing plant and holdings amounting to something like $4 million. That's a comfortable sum of money, and I'm a man who likes comfort, or I wouldn't have married Frida. She was 40 and tired, and no bargain special in the marriage market. But I had plans. Plans that didn't include murder. Then, I was a patient man. Patient until a weakness occurred, and I spent the night playing cards in a back room at Nick's place. That night cost me $30,000, all on my signature. Perhaps that's why Nick's gun-happy friend Al was so insistent a couple of weeks later. I was sitting at the bar in Nick's.
Thornton.
Yes? You busy? That depends.
Nick wants to see you in his office.
Wants to see me about what?
I didn't ask him.
I'll tell him I'll drop back after I finish this drink.
Make it now.
What?
I said now, Thornton.
All right. All right, let's have it your way.
Hello, Roger.
Good evening, Nick.
Sit down.
Before I sit down, let's have an understanding. I don't like the idea of your man here pushing me around with a gun.
A gun?
I kept it covered, Nick.
And we don't want any trouble, Al.
Nobody's seen me.
Don't mind Al, Roger. He takes his work seriously.
Perhaps someone will take him seriously someday.
Al's a good boy. For a price. Right, Al?
That's right.
I'm not interested in the merits of your bodyguard.
Sit down, Roger. You're getting red in the face. Al, mix us a drink, will you?
Sure, Nick. Coming up.
Roger, what about that 30 grand you owe me?
I'll pay you when I get it.
That's a poor bet, Roger. I've been checking on you.
What do you mean, checking on me?
You're a punk. That wife of yours has got all the dough. You haven't got a dime.
My personal affairs don't concern you, Nick.
I'm a right guy. I've never given a right guy a bum break yet. About that, Al?
That's right.
I'm a gambler, Roger. When I lose, I pay off. When I win, I aim to collect.
Oh, before you start laying down the law, Nick, that happens to be an uncollectible debt.
Yeah, yeah, I got a lawyer, too. When you say uncollectible, Roger, you want to figure all the angles.
What angles?
Al, what do you figure this guy's worth?
About 30 grand.
Which way?
Either way.
What are you talking about? What do you mean, either way?
Tell him, Al.
Sitting up or lying down?
Now, see here, Nick.
I can see, Roger. And I want you to see me tomorrow. With 30 grand.
I said I'd pay you.
Tomorrow.
I don't know if I can get it that soon.
I don't like punks like you, Roger. You're crummy. With all that dough you're tied up to, you're still crummy.
I'll do the best I can.
When I said tomorrow, Roger, I wasn't kidding. Was I, Al?
You sure wasn't, Nick.
I didn't like Nick calling me crummy. Whatever I wasn't Nick's kind of tramp. I was furious with myself for becoming so stupidly involved with him in that card game. And Frida had me tied down as if I were a child, making me account for every nickel. If I'd had her then, I could have killed her. I'd have to have a talk with Frida. When I got home, she was in the library.
You're late, Roger.
I stopped for a drink.
Won't you have your cocktails here at home?
You said you were going to the doctor's.
I did go.
Well, I thought you'd be late.
Oh, not this late.
Is this going to be another session, Frida?
No, it's not going to be another session. Roger, we're growing apart, aren't we?
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Now, please, Roger.
You'd stop treating me like a child. Do you know what someone called me today? Do you, Frida?
No.
Crummy. He called me crummy because I'm... Well, because I'm tied to your apron strings.
Oh, now, Roger.
How do you think I felt? Vice president. I signed my name to half a dozen letters, and that makes me a vice president. Oh, I'm sick of it.
I'm sorry.
You're sorry? Did you marry me so you could push a button and have me come running?
Now, don't be absurd, Roger.
Why, am I? Put yourself in my place.
I have put myself in your place. Tonight, while I was waiting for you.
What do you mean, Frida?
Well, I thought it'd be nice if we could spend the weekend at the lodge.
The mountain?
Yes, Roger.
Why?
Oh, we could talk things over.
Why can't we talk it over now?
A weekend vacation together would be nice.
No, then you didn't have anything to talk over. It's only a ruse to get me up to the lodge.
No, it wasn't a ruse. You've been wanting to handle the advertising for the plant. I wanted to surprise you.
You mean you're turning the advertising over to me?
Yes.
I'll control the whole department, everything?
Everything.
Why, that's wonderful, darling. Of course it's a surprise, a charming surprise.
Does it make you happy, Roger?
Of course it does. Now I have something to do, or something I can sink my teeth into.
Then will you go up to the lodge for the weekend?
Well, why don't you run up by yourself this time, Frida? You need the rest, you know, and I have something important to tend to.
I wanted you to go.
Of course you did, dear. But next time, Frida. Next time. I promise you. Frieda's act was more considerate than she realized. Having access to some funds, I could pay Nick, write it off to advertising. For a moment, I felt almost kindly toward Frieda. But then, as I stared at her, long and hard, wondering if I could care for her even remotely, my thoughts were revolted. I hated her for condescending to place me in charge of the advertising department. I knew I could no longer tolerate her, standing in the way of everything I was waiting for. Not until the next day did I conceive the plan. I was ready when Nick's bodyguard, Al, came into my office.
Nick sent me over.
I didn't think it was a social call.
I don't like jokes.
You're very businesslike, aren't you, Al?
I work for a living.
When you work hard. And when you play, you play hard. Is that right, Al?
That's right.
Could you use, say, 5,000 to play with?
I don't like chiselers.
Chiselers?
You heard me.
Oh, you think I'm trying to buy you off because of the money I owe Nick?
What am I supposed to think?
I see. Well, here's a check for Nick. What do you think now?
30 grand. How do I know this is good?
You're smarter than that, Al.
Okay. Okay, what's on?
What's 5,000 worth to you, Al?
Could be worth anything. Maybe.
Maybe.
Nick doesn't come in on this?
No. This is just between us.
How hard is it?
It may be a bit difficult.
For 10 grand, I might see you.
10,000?
Is it yes or is it no?
Well, I don't know yet, Al. I'll give you a ring tomorrow at Nick's. I have to make some arrangements. Frieda?
Yes, Roger?
You're still planning to go to the mountains for the weekend?
No, not without you.
Well, I've been thinking, you do need a rest, you know.
Oh, I can rest just as well right here.
Yes, I realize that, but, well, I thought I might come up to the lodge with you.
Oh, Roger, do you really mean it?
Why, of course, dear.
Oh, I'm so glad you decided to go with me.
Oh, there's just one thing, Frieda.
Yes?
I won't be able to come up until later Saturday evening.
Oh, I don't mind driving up late.
But you don't understand, Frieda. I expect you to drive up early.
Why, Roger?
Well, you can check over the repair work that needs to be done on the lodge.
Repair work?
Yes, I ran into an old friend of mine today, Frieda, a carpenter, Al Graves. He's a bit down on his luck, and, you know, the lodge could stand some work.
Well, that's perfectly all right with me, Roger, but must I go up early?
Well, we don't want him hanging around, do we?
No, of course not.
Good, then I'll ride up with Al. Now, when we get there, we can discuss the repairs. He'll look things over, and then he'll drive on back in his own car.
And you want me to go up early so I can make a list of the things to be done?
Yes, Frieda, that's it. Do you mind about the carpenter, I mean?
Of course I don't mind, Roger. I'm just so happy that you want to go.
Thanks for the drink, Thornton.
You haven't answered my question, Al.
I'm thinking.
Thinking what?
Murder's quite a rap.
You've had your proposition. If you want to forget it.
I didn't say that.
Then you'll do it.
When's the payoff?
1,000 now. 9,000 Saturday night.
You want it done about 9 o'clock?
Just so it happens before I get there.
And I get a ride back with you.
Yes.
Maybe you try to pull something like the cops.
Oh, I couldn't risk bringing the police in. You're smart enough to know that.
Smarter than you think, Thornton.
All right, now it has to look like a struggle and a robbery.
Leave that to me. Is everything okay with the wife for me to ride her up there?
It will be. Saturday morning.
Residence?
Oh, Charles, this is Mr. Thornton.
Oh, good morning, sir.
May I speak to Mrs. Thornton?
Very well, sir. She's right here, sir. Roger?
Oh, I was afraid you might have left for the lodge already.
No, not for an hour yet.
Frida, I wonder if you'd mind doing something.
What is it?
Well, Al Graves, the carpenter who is going to drive me up...
Yes?
His car is broken down. It's in the garage. Would you mind terribly taking Al up with you?
Oh, and Roger, really,
He could look over the repairs himself that way.
Well, when will you come up?
As soon as I'm finished working at the office, I'm working on the new advertising program.
Well, I suppose I could have Richard take Al and myself up in the sedan.
Oh, you don't have to bother Richard. Why not take your convertible?
Oh, couldn't we have that carpenter come up some other time, Roger?
All right. Let's just forget the whole thing, Peter, if you wish. You can go on up alone.
Now, Roger, you know that...
Things must always go your way.
Well, you'll drive up in your car?
Yes. Al can use it to return to town in.
Well, all right. Where'll I pick him up?
On the corner of Hawthorne and Orange.
Hawthorne and Orange?
Yes, I'll tell him to watch for the convertible.
All right, Roger. I'll see you at the lodge tonight, darling.
Things for the past few days had moved so amazingly fast and remarkably well that I had little time to reflect upon my emotions. Frida's surprising agreement to my wishes, I knew, was merely a new tack in her attempt to draw me closer to her. And yet, as I drove through the lane to the lodge in the evening, I had an unaccountable fear. The wind whined through the trees, and the eerie sound disturbed me. I parked the car and sat for a few moments watching the lights in the lodge. It was 10 o'clock. Al should have been finished long ago. I got out of the car, walked to the veranda, and opened the door.
You finally got here.
Yes.
Well, how does it look? You satisfied?
I said to make it look like a struggle.
Well, don't it?
I guess it's all right.
Have you got the dough?
Where is she?
In the bedroom. Go in, take a look. Turn on the light.
No, I can see.
Satisfied, Thornton?
She's partly under the bed.
Yeah, she got scared. She tried to hide. I had to follow her.
Shut the door. I said to shut the door.
You're a funny guy.
Why?
You figure all this out and can't stomach your own stuff.
Let's sit down and have a drink, huh?
Sure. You got the dough?
Yes, sure. There should be some glasses here.
On that shelf.
Oh, yes, I see. I'll fix the drinks.
When I get that drink, we're gonna blow.
Where's her car?
Garage. Want to see it?
No. Here you are.
You need it worse than I do, Thornton.
Where'll you go from here, Al?
A trip, maybe.
Well, you have nothing to worry about from me.
That I know, Thornton.
How was it done?
Gun.
Did you leave it?
I'll get rid of it.
Well, here's to you, Al.
Yeah. All right, Thornton. Now, let's have the dough.
Certainly. I've got it right here.
You know, I've been thinking about you, Thornton. I think Nick's right. You're crummy.
Oh, now, you shouldn't feel that way, Al.
If I had to do it over...
You won't.
Say, I'm sick. What'd you put in that drink?
Why, nothing, Al.
You double-crossing, I'll kill you, Al.
Will you, Al? I poured some of the liquor on Al and tipped the bottle over. Then I carried him out of the lodge, across the carpet of pine needles, to the bluff 100 yards away. I placed one of Frida's expensive bracelets in his pocket, along with some money and articles of lesser value. I dropped him over the bluff and heard his body strike the rocky stream bed 300 feet below. I went quickly to my car and drove away. I drove rapidly for an hour till I passed an all-night diner. I wheeled the car around in the highway, pointing it back in the direction I'd come. Then I ran the car into a ditch hard. The front fender crumpled against the wheel and the tire blew out. I couldn't have wished anything better. This was it. My alibi. I walked a mile up the road to the diner. As I opened the door, a car pulled up. When I entered the cafe, a girl got out of the car and followed me in. Where'll it be, folks?
Coffee, please.
And you, mister? Mm. Coffee. Say, is there a tow truck around?
Tow truck?
I blew out a tire and went into the ditch about a mile down the road.
And Jim Parson has a tow truck. And him and the missus went into L.A. Won't be back till Monday.
Here you are, miss.
Monday. Yes.
Wreck your car bad?
Smashed the wheel. I don't have a spare.
Oh, that's too bad. Going far?
My lodge, about 50 miles up. The Thornton place. Roger Thornton. Maybe you know it.
Thornton? No, can't say I do.
My wife's there. But I'm sure she's all right.
You don't stand much of a chance of getting a ride going that way this time of night.
I suppose not.
You can use a phone there, reverse the charges.
No, no, the phone's disconnected up at the lodge.
You might be able to hitch to L.A. Once in a while, there's a car going that way.
Oh, that's an idea.
Anything else for you, miss?
No, thanks. How much?
10 cents. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
I reckon the young lady didn't want a passenger.
So it seems. Say, I think I will use your phone.
Help yourself.
Have you got that straight, Charles?
Yes, sir. I'm to call the auto club and have them pick up your car.
It's quite a way to the lodge, so I'm going to try to get a ride back to town.
Were you hurt, sir?
Oh, I'm perfectly all right. It may be rather late before I get in, so leave a light in the library.
Very well, sir.
Good night, Charles.
Is that all, sir?
Why, yes. Yes, that's all.
Very well, sir.
Thank you for the use of the phone.
No, that's okay, mister.
Could you use a drink?
I ain't never been known to turn one down.
I got a bottle in my car.
Oh, well, that's quite a walk.
It's nice out, and I could use a drink myself.
Suit yourself.
You don't mind if I sit around after I get back? Maybe I can pick up a ride.
Glad to have you. I'm open all night.
Good, good. I'll be right back.
Mister?
What? Yes?
Did you say you wanted a ride to L.A.?
Why, yes, yes, if you're going that way.
Hop in.
Well, thank you very much.
I would have asked you in there, but I didn't want to give the counterman the wrong idea, Mr. Thornton.
How did you know my name?
You told the counterman.
Oh. Oh, of course. I was just going to get a bottle out of my car.
I already got it.
You've got it?
Sure. Nice car, thirsty girl. I had a hunch.
How long were you with the car?
Long enough to find the bottle and see your name on the steering post.
I thought you heard me tell the counterman.
I did. So then I knew you was a gentleman.
Have you drunk much of that bottle?
Enough.
Hey, you shouldn't be driving if you've been drinking too much.
You're scared?
Oh, no, no, it's for your own good.
I'm celebrating.
You might have waited till you got in Los Angeles.
Mr. Thornton.
Yes?
Why'd you turn your car around and run it into that ditch?
What?
I know all about you, Mr. Thornton.
Who are you? What's your name?
Della.
Della what?
Just Della.
Look out! Oh, you nearly turned us over. Either stop this car and let me drive or...
Or what, Mr. Thornton?
Stop this car.
When we get to Nick's.
Did you say Nick's?
I'm Al's girlfriend.
No.
Didn't you think Al could have a girlfriend?
Why did you pick me up?
Because I'm not half as tight as you think I am.
Well, then, what do you want?
Al was a punk, a nice punk, but punks come cheap, Mr. Thornton. I want that $9,000.
Do you think I'd carry that kind of money around?
And did you think Al was stupid enough not to have somebody cover him at the lodge?
You were there? You saw it?
Yes, I was there, and I saw.
You're a very brave girl, Della. Threatening me?
I don't scare easy. I know you're kind.
Oh, do you?
This is a gun, Mr. Thornton. I'm not afraid to use it.
You're a very stupid child.
If you try anything, I'll wreck this car.
Watch that curve. I'll take that gun.
Oh,
oh. Now, stop that car or I'll kill you.
No, you won't.
I'll hold that wheel.
Let go. Let go of me. Let go. go!
We're stopping right here. All right. All right. Now, get out of the car. Get out.
I'm unwilling to talk to you.
Get out.
My arm.
Down this ravine.
I was only kidding you. I wanted to scare you. I didn't mean it.
Must I force you?
I won't tell nobody.
You're my only witness. My only witness.
Please, let me tell you. Let me talk to you.
This will do.
Wait. You've got to let me explain it.
When the girl told me she'd seen me kill Al, I went out of my head. I didn't know what I was doing. I shouldn't have killed her. I was stupid, but I couldn't help it. I couldn't stop. I drove the girl's car into town and left it on a side street. I dropped the gun down a sewer and caught a bus home. It was almost daylight. I was tired and sick. But it was all over. It was all over. I unlocked the front door and quietly entered the house. My house. I was too keyed up for sleep. What I needed was a bracer. I went into the library.
Good morning, Roger.
Rita!
Who did you expect?
Rita, what are you doing here?
I've been waiting since you telephoned Charles.
I killed them. What? I killed them both.
You killed them?
Al and the girl, and you're here. you're right here.
Stop it. Stop it, Roger. Roger, stop it. I'm so sorry for you.
I had it all figured out. I did. I had...
That man, Al, the carpenter, he told me everything, Rochester. I had to pay him.
You paid him? You? Then it was the girl I saw. She was in the bedroom, pretending to be you, pretending to be dead. Al framed the whole thing as a shakedown. He never intended to kill you.
Oh, I'm so sorry for you.
You said that. You said that. Who are you to feel sorry for me?
I love you. I'm going to miss you, Roger.
Love? Then why didn't you do something? Why didn't you tell me?
I didn't know. I stayed home hoping you'd come here and we could talk things over before you did anything rash.
Rash? You call it rash? Do you know what I've done?
That's why I'm so sorry for you.
You say that once more. Once more, Frieda.
It was greed, wasn't it, Roger? Greed for my money.
I hate you, Frieda.
I know. And I love you. Isn't it strange, Roger?
It's pathetic.
What I wanted to tell you at the lodge, Roger. Or if I'd only told you sooner.
What do you mean? Frieda, what do you mean?
I'll tell you. But it's too late now, Roger. You've killed two people. And you'll hang. If I let you.
What are you doing with that gun?
I haven't any money, Roger. I've been wiped out. That's what I wanted to tell you. You needn't have killed them.
No, Frieda. No.
But I still love you.
No. No.
And I won't let you hang. Goodbye, Roger.
And so the curtain falls on two coffins to fill, which was chosen by guest expert Kelly Roose, whose latest mystery is Murder in Any Language. Next week at this time, Murder by Experts brings you a story of intrigue and surprise, of a beautiful Hollywood actress, and of a man who died twice. Selected for your approval by the famous mystery novelist, Miss Helen McCloy. Until then, this is your host, John Dixon Carr, hoping you'll be with us next week at this time.
In the cast of Two Coffins to Fill, which was written by Robert Foster, were Carl Weber, Eleanor Phelps, Jimmy Stevens, Miriam Wolfe, and Maurice Tarplin. Music was under the direction of Emerson Buckley and was composed by Richard DuPage. Murder by Experts is produced and directed by Robert A. Arthur and David Cogan. All characters in our story were fictitious, and any resemblance to the names of actual persons was purely coincidental. This is Phil Tonkin speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell brings you mystery, adventure.
Nero Wolfe's office, Archie Goodwin speaking. No, I'm sorry, Mr. Wolfe is busy planning a menu. I'll see if he can talk to you. What's the name again? You want to talk to a dame named Mrs. Collins?
Hang up, Archie.
Do we know a Mrs. Collins?
No.
I don't suppose you care, but I think her voice is very charming.
Doubtless. Every female has a charming voice to you. Hang up.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mrs. Collins, but at the moment, Mr. Wolfe is too involved with his digestive system to be interrupted. However, if I may introduce myself, Archie Goodwin, Mr. Wolfe's assistant, if I can be of any help...
Archie.
Yes, Mrs. Collins, I'll ask him. Cocktail party.
Hang up, Archie.
Mrs. Collins, I'm afraid it would be better if you didn't expect Mr. Wolfe. Goodbye. Cocktails. Fooey.
Absurd. Perfectly absurd.
She says you promised to come to her cocktail party, and why aren't you there?
Because you are going to attend the cocktail party and the probable unpleasant ending.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that genius who is the bulkiest, balkiest, the most ponderous, and most brilliant detective in the world. Yes, none other than that chair-borne mass of unpredictable intellect, Nero Wolfe, created by Rex Stout and brought to you in a new series of adventures over this NBC network in the person of Mr. Sidney Greenstreet.
Mr. Wolfe and I refer to this as the case of the party for death. Nero Wolfe really should have gone to the party since he'd accepted, but I was delegated. I can't complain now since it was there that I met Georgia, the most beautiful redhead. Well, that's my weakness, redheads. Yeah, blondes and brunettes. Well, anyway, Mr. Wolfe was adamant about going to the party.
I've never been to a cocktail party in my life. You know, I drink nothing but beer.
You could take your beer with you, couldn't you?
I could not.
Do we know a Mrs. Collins whose cocktail party you said you'd go to?
The phone rang and I picked it up.
Where was I?
Exactly.
Okay. So a Mrs. Collins with a beautiful, seductive voice conned you into accepting an invitation to a cocktail party that you knew you weren't going to.
Archie.
Yes, Master.
Just a little less sarcasm, perhaps.
Sarcasm?
Call it impertinence, then.
Impertinence, Master?
Exactly. Less of that. Much less.
Okay.
Continue now.
Where was I?
You were reading the duck recipe.
Oh, yes, the duck. Oh, here we are. Dodine de canard. The dodine is one of the oldest dishes in the repertory of French cooking, being mentioned in books of the 14th century. Le Grand Cuisinier de Toute Cuisinie.
Hooey, what time is it, Archie?
Almost 6:30.
Oh, in that case...
You gonna get up?
Here on this card are your instructions, Archie. If you are still alive tomorrow, you may make your report.
I helped the huge bulk that was Nero Wolfe out of his specially built desk chair and walked with him to the elevator that would take him upstairs to his orchids. I stepped back to the desk and found the card which bore my instructions. In his small, perfect handwriting, I read, Mrs. Albert Collins, Empire Towers. Arrive at 7, say I sent you. After the murder, telephone me before the police arrive. At exactly 7, I rang Mrs. Collins' doorbell. Mrs. Collins?
I'm Mrs. Collins.
I'm Archie Goodwin. We talked on the phone a little while ago.
Oh, yes. Well, come in, Mr. Goodwin.
Mr. Wolfe begs to be excused. At the last moment, he was unable to attend.
Well, I'm glad you could come.
You're not disappointed?
No, I don't think so. I'm rather upset. I'm afraid, Mr. Goodwin, for my life. That's why I called Mr. Wolfe. Oh, just drop your hat and coat there, Mr. Goodwin.
May I tell you something, Mrs. Collins?
Well, of course, Mr. Goodwin.
Archie will do.
Archie?
When I spoke to you on the phone, I thought I knew what you'd look like.
And?
You do.
Well, is that good?
It's not bad, Mrs. Collins.
Janie will do.
Janie will do.
Archie, I think it would be best if I say you're an old beau of mine.
From where?
In Hollywood. When I went to Hollywood High School and you went to USC.
Okay, but don't expect me to remember much about it.
I'll be flattered if you remember anything about it. I want you to keep your eyes and ears open. Observe everything tonight. Well, now shall we join the party? Oh, Albert, this is Archie Goodwin. Archie, this is my husband, Albert.
How do you do?
Hello.
And this is Joe Boyce, my husband's partner.
How do you do?
Boyce?
I've told you about Archie, Albert, but well, I guess you probably don't remember, do you?
No, I don't.
When I was in high school and he went to USC.
Oh. Well, yeah, sure. What'll you have, Goodwin?
I'd like a plain lime and soda.
Oh, now, really? A teetotaler now?
Yes, I, well, I used to overdo it, remember?
So you knew my wife in Hollywood?
Quite a while ago, though.
Been here long?
Oh, a while.
Did you and my wife run into each other again just lately?
Yeah.
A few days ago?
About.
Joe Boyce here is my partner, chemical business. Makes this sort of an old home week, doesn't it, Joe?
In a way, Al, I guess it does at that.
Joe knew my wife back in those days, too. And they're still very friendly. Yes, yes, indeed. You two have got something in common to talk about, haven't you, Goodwin?
Mrs. Collins, you mean? We never knew each other very well.
No? Okay, Goodwin, let it go.
Why, look. Look what I found. A new man. Just what I need. I'm Georgia.
Archie.
Archie, dear, will you fix up my drink, please?
Anything for a lady.
Let's go to the bar. Eh, Archie?
I'm determined, Joe. If it were only the money, or only Jane, I might listen.
Oh, Al, can't we talk about it later?
I like talking about it now, Joe.
You're going to be sorry about this, Al.
I am already. But you'll have 20 years or so in prison just being sorry. I've got the papers you forged right here.
You're hysterical, Al. Let's face it. The firm went broke, but I suffered too. So let's forget it.
Yes, Joe. The firm went broke, but you didn't. And I don't think my wife did either. The two of you had everything figured for yourselves. Well, I'm turning the papers over to the DA tomorrow.
Nero Wolf speaking.
Archie, what do you know about this expected murder, if anything?
Has it happened yet?
No, but who's supposed to get killed?
I haven't the faintest idea, Archie.
Then why don't you stop it?
That is impossible. I don't even know who's there.
You want me to tell you?
Not in the least.
How am I supposed to prevent it if I don't know what I'm looking for?
You're not supposed to prevent it, Archie. I don't think you could. I don't think anybody could.
You want to hear what I found out already?
No.
I'll tell you anyway. Collins thinks his wife and his partner Boyce have been stealing his dough, and he's threatening to send Boyce to the clink.
Archie.
Yeah?
You're wasting our time. Go back to the party. There is nothing you can do to prevent the murder. But I want you to be there when it happens.
Now that all the guests have gone, let's sit down here, Georgia.
When Janie was in Hollywood, she must have had more good-looking boyfriends.
Let's get personal about this, Georgia.
Yeah, let's.
When you say good-looking, do you mean me?
I don't mean anybody else, Archie.
You know, I think you're pretty, too.
You'd better not let Jane hear you say that.
You think she'd care?
I thought you knew Jane.
Only slightly. You don't like Jane too well, do you?
Why?
Why? Why what?
Why don't you tell the truth about it? No man as attractive as you ever knew Jane slightly. Either they knew her or they didn't know her. Maybe you think I'm getting a little tipsy.
The idea never occurred to me.
No? Well, it has to me.
Refill your glass?
I'll come with you to the bar.
Well, here's your drink, Georgia. I find there's no ice left in the ice bucket.
Janie? Hey, Janie, no ice.
Oh, well, I'll get some. Here, give me the bucket.
Mrs. Collins, Janie, I mean.
Yes, Archie.
May I use the phone in the bedroom again?
Oh, of course.
Will you excuse me for a minute, Georgia?
I'm coming with you.
Why don't you just stay here until Jane brings the ice? Well, why don't you go talk to Joe Boyce?
I don't want to talk to Joe Boyce. I don't want to talk to Joe Boyce ever.
Now, look, Georgia.
I'm coming with you, Archie. Is that clear?
Okay, come on.
Here's where the phone is.
I could have found it myself.
You don't want me with you, do you?
Just sit down here on the edge of the bed and listen, if that's what you want to do.
Nero Wolf speaking.
Archie, boss.
Well, Archie, what?
Just a bit of a report.
Go on.
At this moment, I am sitting on the edge of one of two twin beds in the apartment of Mr. and Mrs. Albert Collins. Sitting next to me is a gorgeous redhead named Georgia. Georgia what, dear?
Boyce.
You mean you're the wife of Joe Boyce?
Of course. Didn't you know?
I am sitting next to the gorgeous redheaded wife of Albert Collins' partner, Joe Boyce.
Archie, you annoy me.
From what I just learned, I can see there's another friction going on.
You mean Georgia and Jane?
Yep. Fireworks between them. This one, no like other one.
Have you anything more to say?
When I called, I was going to ask if there's any reason why I shouldn't come home now.
I wrote your instructions for you, Archie.
After the murder, call you.
Yeah, that's perfectly clear, isn't it?
But what if there isn't any?
And don't call me. Simple, isn't it?
Hello. He hung up.
Archie.
What?
That was a strange conversation.
Do you want me to explain it to you, honey?
What was that business about murder?
Shall we join the party?
Murder. Archie, wouldn't you be surprised if there was one?
Yeah? Who's going to do what and to whom?
I don't know. Maybe I will.
Elucidate, honey. Do you intend to figure as the killer or the corpse?
I don't intend to figure as anything. But you never know. Archie, do you think Jane Collins is better looking than me?
Nope.
Honestly?
Honestly.
Then what's the matter with me?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Oh, yes, there is. Look, do you want to kiss me?
Well, I'll tell you. When I graduated from Sunday school, I took a vow.
That's what I mean. But if I were Jane, you'd want to kiss me, wouldn't you?
No, frankly, no.
Why not?
Well, when I graduated from Sunday school, I...
Okay, Archie. Let's go back. You boys have such happy faces. Where's Jane?
In the kitchen getting some ice. Where have you been?
With Archie.
Is he an old school chum of yours, too?
Do you care, Joe?
No.
Mr. Boyce.
What?
How much do you weigh?
187. Why?
Then I'll be giving you 5 pounds. Shall we step outside?
This I have got to see.
Shut up. Mr. Goodwin, you seem angry.
Just terribly, terribly hurt.
Would it do any good if I apologized? Today I'm a little upset. If I said anything to offend you, I do apologize. Now, if you still want me to give you a boxing lesson, I'm at your service.
Let's forget it. I'm sorry, too. Jane Collins came in from the kitchen with a bucket of ice cubes, a tray of fresh glasses, and the strapless gown she'd been wearing.
There! I never thought I'd make it. Now I'm going to mix my own drink, and you can take care of yourselves. Ice first. Whiskey. And soda. It's a simple recipe, isn't it, Archie?
All it needs is the ingredients.
Well, I drink to the ingredients. Nice.
Janie, darling.
What, dear?
Would you mind very much if I took Archie away from you?
Haven't you done that already, dear?
To listen to those girls, you'd think, wouldn't you, Goodwin?
Me, I never think.
What do you do, Archie?
I concentrate.
On what?
On not thinking. I did some serious concentrating on not thinking about Nero Wolf, or about the conflict of the partners, Albert Collins and Joe Boyce, about the jealousies of Jane and Georgia. The next 5 minutes hardly seemed an hour. Jane and Boyce murmured to each other. Collins drank, gently but firmly.
Why can't you be honest, Archie? What's the matter with me?
What, Georgia?
You weren't listening, were you?
To every gorgeous word you said.
What did I say?
I want to hear it again, just the way you said it before.
I said, why shouldn't there be a murder? Why not? It's an order.
It's just not considered the thing to do.
Thing to do? Can you think of anything better?
No, frankly.
I can. My glass is empty.
My glass is empty, too. Jane. Jane!
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not much of a hostess, am I? Oh, don't answer that. Oh, you're all empty. But I've only drunk half of mine.
You don't usually drink so slowly, Jane.
Well, I'm just not in the mood tonight. I usually drink faster to keep you from drinking mine. See, Albert always gulps his and then reaches for mine.
What's the difference?
Well, I'll fix you some fresh drinks, but put my drink over there by you, Georgia, and lay off, Albert. I only had about 3 swallows of it. Besides, you don't need any more.
I suppose we know what dear Jane is going to do, don't we?
Lay off, will you?
Lay off. It's my husband who said that, Archie. Archie, meet my husband, Mr. Boyce. I will now explain why dear Jane took our glasses away to the kitchen when she could have poured a drink right here.
Listen, Georgia, will you...
Mr. Boyce is speaking, Archie. What, Mr. Boyce?
Nuts.
Mr. Boyce says nuts, Mr. Goodwin. What do you say, Mr. Collins?
I think Joe has covered the field.
We were talking, weren't we, Archie?
Possibly.
We were talking about dear Jane. She's got to be always the prettiest, always devastating. Right now, she's putting on a completely new face. And in about 20 minutes, when our tongues are hanging out, she'll come back, all horsed up and bright and smiling, with another tray of drinks.
Yeah, she'll take all night to fix them.
Well, I'm going to get some air on the balcony.
Don't jump off. Al, you're drinking too much lately.
I shouldn't worry you, Joe. Especially now.
When you start drinking, not only your drinks, but everybody else's too, well... Jane's right.
Is that what worries you? Slide Jane's glass down. The ice is all melted.
You see what I mean?
Okay, Joe, let's not be nasty until tomorrow. That gives me an idea. Think I'll propose a toast. Until tomorrow. You know, it may be rather fitting that I should drink a toast from the glass that Janie left. Until tomorrow.
Go! Al. Al? Jane? Janie!
Albert! Oh, Albert.
Nero Wolf speaking.
May I come home now?
Oh, hello, Archie.
I said, may I come home now?
Have you sent for the police, Inspector Kramer?
Of course.
Who was killed, Archie?
Albert Collins.
How, Archie?
I don't know. You were right, though, weren't you?
Naturally. About what?
Murder.
Oh, that. We can talk about it tomorrow. Good night, Archie. Come home when you can.
What do you mean, come home when I can?
You'll be held as a witness, won't you? Try not to wake me with the elevator when you come in.
Well, Inspector Kramer, you've had me here at headquarters for a long while. For quite a long while. Haven't you asked me enough questions?
Goodwin, you say you never saw these people before, Collins or Boyce or their wives. Yet when all the other guests had gone, you were still there.
I guess I just don't know how to say goodbye.
You didn't know they were partners in a chemical company. You didn't know that Boyce had forged a lot of papers with Collins' name.
All I know is what you tell me.
Goodwin.
Yes, sir?
I'm trying to be nice.
Yes, sir.
Now, I know, of course, that you went to that party because Nero Wolf told you to.
Do you?
My question is, how did Wolf know it was going to happen?
Why don't you ask him?
I already have.
He told you?
He says he never heard of Collins or Boyce.
Did he say he'd ever heard of me?
He says he isn't responsible for you or your shady friends. Maybe he knows I found a poison pellet in George's bag.
Inspector, may I make an important call?
Go ahead.
Archie. Confounded light. Hello?
What time is it, Master?
Confounded, Archie.
I'll tell you what time it is. It's a little after 4 a.m. I'm at Central Headquarters, and Inspector Kramer has been chatting with me about my shady friends.
Kramer is a jackass.
Just a second. Pick up the other phone, will you, Inspector? Sorry, Mr. Wolf. What was that you were saying about Inspector Kramer?
I said Kramer is a jackass.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. Wolf!
Oh? Eavesdropping, Inspector.
I was just talking about bringing you down here for a little questioning, Wolf.
Phooey.
What's that?
Phooey. It can be spelled in several ways. I spell it P-F-U-I. Phooey.
You think I won't bring you down here as a material witness?
Yes, I think you won't. I think you'd be making a great mistake if you did.
A great mistake? Why?
Because I might not tell you who killed Collins. And you wouldn't know which one of these people to prefer charges against. Now send Archie home. Even he needs an occasional night's sleep.
What do you think of that? He hung up.
So it seems. Busy? He's probably left the phone off the hook, Inspector. By now, he's probably asleep again.
You know I can go out there, don't you?
Sure you can. More important men than you have tried it. And where are they now?
Goodwin?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to let you go.
I'm sure Mr. Wolfe and I are very grateful, Inspector.
You want to know why I'm letting you go?
I know why.
Why?
Because if you're nice and cooperative and don't make too much trouble, Mr. Wolfe will solve this case for you and tell you whom to prefer charges against.
Goodwin.
Sir?
Get out.
Thank you, Inspector. Good morning, Inspector. At 3 o'clock the next afternoon, I was rearranging the furniture in Nero Wolfe's office while the great man sat behind his desk watching me perspire.
Are you finished now, Archie?
I guess so.
And tell me where they sat.
There were two couches, like this, in front of a fireplace. Collins and Boyce were sitting together on one couch. When Georgia and I came in, they were looking at some canceled checks.
Where was Mrs. Collins?
I told you, she was getting ice and fresh glasses.
Why was she getting fresh glasses, Archie? Where were the empty ones?
I don't know. Maybe they were the same ones she brought back washed and polished.
Archie, I trust your powers of observation absolutely. That's why I sent you to Mrs. Collins' cocktail party.
Okay, how did you know there was going to be a murder? If it was a murder.
It was a murder, Archie. But isn't it obvious?
How is it obvious? Suppose Collins slipped a few drops of the poison into his drink himself.
It's very strong, very deadly poison, with a remarkably strong odor.
Like almonds, I know. I smelled it when I picked him up.
Archie, was anything found on the body that might have contained the poison? A fountain pen? Whatever?
Not even that.
Inspector Kramer found a poison pellet in Georgia's handbag. He thinks she poisoned Collins' drink.
Say, could be. But it wasn't his drink, it was his wife's. Then Georgia was trying to kill Jane, and Collins got it by mistake.
We shall soon see, Archie.
I was expecting a murder because you told me to expect it. I watched every move that everybody made. There is no possibility that Jane's glass, the glass with the poison in it, was tampered with by anybody.
Yes, I believe.
Okay.
Archie, you're sore, aren't you?
Have you ever spent the night with Inspector Kramer? He's really a good man, too. Why did you say he was a jackass?
Because he didn't know who killed Collins.
Do you?
Of course. Was there ever any question about it?
Just a moment, please.
The only trouble is it may be difficult to prove. That's why we are giving this little cocktail party this afternoon with the help of Inspector Kramer. By the way...
Yes?
Call Mrs. Collins and tell her to bring a bucket of ice from her refrigerator.
Why?
Because our refrigerator's broken down.
No, it hasn't. I was just out in the kitchen a minute ago.
Our refrigerator has broken down. And it would be very helpful if Mrs. Collins would bring a bucket of ice cubes.
What makes you think she'll do it?
She will. Call her.
6:45. There we were in Wolfe's office doing a repeat performance of last night's smash hit. Two couches faced each other, a cocktail table between them. On one couch, red-headed Georgia and me. On the other couch... It was a big one. Joe Boyce, Jane Collins, widow of the lately defunct Albert, and Nero Wolfe. Jane had been drinking a little slower than the rest of us. Our glasses were empty. Hers was still half full. Wolfe said...
Archie.
Yeah?
At this point in last night's party, Mrs. Collins got up and left to get some fresh drinks. Repeat what she said.
Approximately?
Approximately will do.
I think she said something like this. She said, put my drink over by you, Georgia. Lay off, Albert. I've had about 3 swallows of it. Besides, you don't need any more, Albert. Am I right, Jane?
Close enough, Archie. But what of it?
Now, what is this nonsense all about, Wolfe?
Mr. Wolfe is trying to make something out of nothing.
I think Mr. Wolfe is going to turn up something mighty interesting. Don't look so perturbed, Joe.
Since I am playing the part of the late Mr. Collins, pass me Jane's glass.
I'll keep my glass, Mr. Wolfe. I haven't finished my drink.
You're a very clever woman, Mrs. Collins.
Would it be too much if I ask what this is all about?
What is you, Archie?
You make it sound as if that drink she's holding is poison. But it can't be, because as yesterday, she's already drunk half of it herself.
When our freezer broke down, she was more than willing to bring a bucket of ice cubes, wasn't she?
So?
What would happen, Archie, if you froze a gelatine-coated pellet of poison in the center of one particular ice cube? Mrs. Collins hasn't finished her drink. Notice the ice has all melted now. She hasn't taken one sip since the ice melted completely. She came prepared in case she was exposed. Smell it, Archie.
No, Archie, stand back. I can easily swallow this before you can reach me. Mr. Wolf, in a few seconds, I'll drink it. But tell me something first. Tell me how you knew.
Jane, listen to me.
I knew there was going to be a murder last night because you said so. I knew that it was you who would commit the murder because it was you who invited me. You hoped an expert witness would prove that you couldn't have killed your husband. So I sent Archie Goodwin, whose observations are always exact, even when he doesn't know the import of what he's observing.
She brought back clean glasses. She poured the drinks out of bottles already open. And if anybody had put anything in or touched one of those glasses, I would have seen it.
Exactly. The poison pellet was frozen in a certain ice cube. Mrs. Collins put that cube in her own drink, drank it until the ice had almost melted down to the poisonous pellet center. And then she took all the other glasses away, leaving only hers half full. And as usual, her husband drank it.
No, Jane, don't. Don't.
Too late, Joe. Too late.
Well, boss, Jane didn't get away with the suicide try. That was clever thinking you did.
I prepared a cube of ice in which I had frozen a gelatine capsule containing nothing more than a vitamin compound. I substituted for the cube in which Jane had placed the poison for herself.
Wonder why Jane Collins wanted to have Joe. He'd stolen practically all the money in the company. He was just a crook.
Birds of a feather, Archie. I don't believe Joe Boyce had any idea that Jane was planning a murder. And he still had all the money.
Well, the forgeries will put him away for a long time. And poor Georgia could have had it pinned on her if it hadn't been for me.
Yes, yes. You knew all along, didn't you, that Jane had planned to have Georgia accused by planting another pellet of the poison in Georgia's handbag. Jane would have gotten rid of her husband and Joe's wife in one stroke. You knew all that, didn't you?
Well, I... How about a bottle of beer, boss?
Could you spare the time?
Georgia. Beautiful redhead. Wonder where she is tonight.
I'm sure I haven't the slightest idea, but in case you do... Well, just be quiet with the elevator door when you come in.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story by Mindred Lord was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program, produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Harry Bartell as Archie Goodwin, and G.G. Pearson, Herb Butterfield, Peter Leeds, Evelyn Eaton, and Bill Johnstone. Next week at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Malevolent Medic. Don Stanley speaking. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
That's Case Closed for this week. Hope you enjoyed our shows this time. You can find more from Murder by Experts, Nero Wolfe, and thousands of other old-time radio episodes at RelicRadio.com. All the other podcasts are listed there. And we've got a Shoutcast stream running with even more old-time radio. All your old-time radio needs at RelicRadio.com. If you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, help keep them coming every week, give that donate button a click. Your support makes all of this possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed.